Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, it is blue-white football week. Are you ready for some football?
Yeah, and it's, believe it or not, Jimmy, sounds like you might get a little bit, like another step closer to like a more of a simulated football game than even you got last year, which I thought was a step forward for James and how he did it normally. So for Penn State fans, that's kind of got to be exciting.
Yes. I mean, we haven't had real football for months. We're not going to have more real football for months going forward. So, Andy, we will take this and we will enjoy it. But speaking of enjoying the game, how about this for a crazy offer, Andy? And I know you understand the value of this. Our good friend Mark over at GoPSURV, he got a hold of me yesterday, said he wants to do a special giveaway just for our Keystone Sports listeners. It's an exclusive. If you're going to the game and you'd like to stay there for the weekend at an RV, have it all ready for you, GoPSURV is giving away an RV for the weekend, Andy. That's a free RV for up to four people. And this is all you have to do. To win that RV, you just have to be the first caller at 800-519-8467 and leave a recording saying, I'm a Keystone Sports Network fan and I want a free tailgating RV for the blue-white game. Just make sure you leave your name and your contact number. And I'll tell you what, this is also pretty cool. If you're not the first caller, you still get a very nice consolation prize, 800-519-8467. First caller. First call. Andy, you're already picking up your phone.
Hi, I'm a Keystone Sports Network fan, and I want my free RV for the blue-white game weekend. Come on, that's crazy. That's really cool, Mark, but if you were even thinking about it or you're already going and you can just call Mark, take your shot, do it anyway. It's spectacular what he does and how cool he makes the game day experience, even for a blue-white weekend. I think it's awfully generous.
It's a fantastic way to watch. And one of my favorite things, I think, is you don't have to worry about parking then. He's got plenty of parking, and they shuttle you back and forth to the game, drop you off real close to the stadium. It's a great experience.
Yeah.
And Andy, no, you are not allowed to call in. The fact that we pre-record this so you would call before it's released. No, that's cheating, Andy. So first caller to 800-519-4867. You get the RV. All right, Andy. Hey, it is blue-white weekend. Let's talk about the game. And, you know, it's still a very different game. And you've got to watch this a little bit differently, Andy, than you do a normal game, of course. So let me start with that. You, as a guy who's covered Penn State football and football in general for years and years and years, when you watch this game, how do you watch differently, or how do you watch it differently?
Yeah, I definitely watch this game differently. Even when I'm regularly watching football, especially when I'm watching Penn State football, I'm about 80-20 during a regular game where I'm not watching what's happening around the football. So it's 80% I'm watching sort of the football, and then there's certain things I'll look for, and there's a 20%. In this, during spring, this is flipped. 80% of the time when I watch Penn State go through the open spring practice, at the blue-white game, I'm 80% watching everything and anything away from the football. So when I would be covering it, or when I would be, you know, looking at stuff, I would have a list of things that I specifically, either it's players or a group of players or a position, I would make sure I knew what I wanted to spend time watching away from the football specifically. Just that's the way to do it. And then 20% of the time for this game, I'll watch what's going on around the football. But generally speaking for this game, as a general 80-20 rule, I'm not watching anything to do with what's going on around the football.
You know, Andy, I get exactly how you're saying it. I would probably just put it a little bit differently. I think in watching this game, I'm looking at individuals more than I'm looking at the game itself. You know, if it's a new left tackle that I'm looking for, I'm watching him block and not so concerned if the pass is completed or not, because I'm looking at the individual. But if I'm looking at, you know, the quarterback, I'm watching the ball because the ball's in his hands, but it's, okay, is he accurate? Is he on time? If you're watching the receivers, are they getting themselves open? You know, that separation thing. Those are the kind of things that I look at. And it also causes you, Andy, to look at specific individuals a little more than other people. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball, and I'd like to talk about that. So you're watching the game, Andy. You're watching the offense. Who are you looking for, and what are you looking for from them?
So the first place I'm going to start, the top of my list, for guys on the offense that I'm going to be watching, I'm going to start with on both sides of the ball. So we're going to start on offense. I'm going to start with the transfer portal guys, Jimmy. I am. There's, you know, what is there? There's four of them, right? On each side of, there's two of them on each side of the ball. The two corners, I think Nolan Rucci on offensive line, I'm definitely going to spend some time watching him. And then when I switch and go to the wide receivers, I'm going to start with Julian Fleming, and I'm going to watch him first. Because you know a little bit about inside the Penn State circle, what you already have from a lot of the other players. There's incoming freshmen. Like, you could have them, Jimmy, because I know you love your eye candy. There's, what, like 25 new guys on this roster, including the freshmen who enrolled early that weren't on the roster at the end of last year. So there's a lot to look at in terms of that, but I know you love your, you know, your shiny new beach balls. You love your freshmen, and I love that about you. But me, I'm going for the transfer guys and on offense. Nolan Rucci, Julian Fleming, right at the top of my list. Going to watch them closely, consistently, and even through the course, not just at the beginning, even through the course of how much time they spend playing, I'll still go back to them because they're such a high priority on my list.
Well, I think the portal guys, that's a great place to start, Andy. And not that I need to defend myself in liking the incoming freshmen, but I'm not sure how many of the incoming freshmen are really going to be factors. I think we have Cooper Cousins, who we're assuming is going to be part of the two deep. So when you've got, you know, two teams, the blue team, the white team, I'm assuming Cooper Cousins is going to get a lot of play, and we can get a feel for him. And especially he'll be up against a veteran set of defensive tackles. Right. So, you know, we could probably learn something there. But the other part to it, you talked about the transfer portal guys. And I'll get into them in a little bit, but let's start with Nolan Rucci. And the reason why I want to start there, Andy, is you've lost both starting tackles. The one guy that you assume will be your starting left tackle is going to be out of this game. So these guys aren't the, you know, incoming freshmen, but, you know, I'll call them the second year guys. You know, what about Javen Williams? I kind of want to see him. Anthony Donka, Alex Birchmeyer.
The offensive group is on my list. The offensive line is on my list, particularly the tackle position. Drew Shelton's out all this spring after, you know, getting surgery after the 2023 season. I get it. I'm not worried about what we know and what we've seen of him. There's enough known in him. I don't think Nolan Rucci's played much college football, Jimmy. So that's where I'm starting with him. Like, he's really important to me because he had time at Wisconsin. He is a talent. He is a pure talent. And he never sort of ascended enough to get himself on the field at Wisconsin. It was for a reason. I don't know what that reason is. I kind of don't care what it is. I need to see if he's got the tools in his chest at the collegiate level to be a contributor for Penn State. And I think the small sample size you got from, you know, Anthony Donkor last year in the bowl game is enough to say that, hey, that guy could take some steps forward and put his hat in the ring. Nolan Rucci's got something to prove, and it starts with this spring practice. And if he wants to play at Penn State and not suffer the same sort of consequence he did at Wisconsin, he's got to show something. And I want to see it. I know he has the talent. I watched him in high school. He's a really good offensive lineman. I'm a bit baffled. I mean, I understand the 6'7" and the weight and all of that and his height, and I get that, but he could hardly get on the field. And I'm like, that is one of those where 1 + 1 = 3. Talent and opportunity equal 3. That doesn't make any sense to me because the talent is so there. So I think this is a different opportunity for him. And I want to see if he can start to make his talent shine at the next level.
I've had the same questions about him at Wisconsin. And you don't know. It's hard to put your finger on it because, as you said, this is obviously a talented guy. And you wonder sometimes, for a lot of people, it just need a change in scenery. And not that it's the be-all, end-all, but it was fascinating. And James Franklin really emphasized this at one of the press conferences. At his last place, he never got above 300 pounds. He's already, they say, up to 315. I don't necessarily say, okay, 15 pounds makes a difference between a not-so-good offensive lineman and a good one, but it makes me wonder if he's looked at differently and the approach here is different. I didn't say better. I said different, but it might be better for this individual player. So you're right. I think that's a great place to start. And Andy, when we come back, I want to get into a little bit more the other guy from the transfer portal on the offensive side of the ball, which is Julian Fleming. You know, a lot of talk about him, a lot of talk about the wide receiver room. I'm going to ask you just what can we expect from him? We're going to do that, Andy, as soon as we come back. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking Penn State football, and we're getting you ready for the blue-white game coming up on Saturday. Speaking of which, Andy, we made the announcement in quarter one. Might be too late, but I'm going to throw it out there again. Our good friends at GoPSU RV, they are doing a giveaway, a free RV for this weekend, special for our Keystone Sports listeners. If you want to stay over for the spring game this weekend, this Friday and Saturday night, we are having a giveaway of an RV for the weekend at GoPSU RV. All you have to do is call. Be that first caller, and you win the free RV for up to four people, 800-519-8467. And leave a recording saying, hey, I'm a Keystone Sports Network fan, and I want a free tailgating RV for the blue-white game. Be sure also to leave your name and your contact number. And if you aren't the first caller in, there will be consolation prizes if you leave a message in your contact info, Andy.
Give them the number one more time, Jimmy, because sometimes we're not as fast as we used to be. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. 800-519-8467. And there that's you go. If you want the free RV for the weekend. Andy and I could both vouch for the place. We've both stayed there and have had a great time. All right, Andy. We're talking about the things that you're going to be looking for. What are you watching in the spring game? You brought up the transfer portal guys, which I think is a great thing. You mentioned Nolan Rucci. I mentioned that at that tackle position especially, we've got complete changeover. The two starters are gone. The guy who we assume will be the starting left tackle, he's out injured. What an opportunity, not just for Nolan Rucci, but for some other people. Is it going to be J.B. Nelson? Is it Javen Williams? Anthony Donka? You know, we want to find out who among these guys. And remember, last year's bowl game, nobody had Anthony Donka on their radar, and he just came up and did himself well in that performance. So let's talk a little bit more about Julian Fleming. He's the big name. He's the receiver. Pennsylvania kid, just like Nolan Rucci, coming home after being at Ohio State. What should be the expectation level for him? What are you looking for in this game from him, Andy?
So it's pretty simple for him. He's the alpha dog now. He's the leader of the pack, right? I think after what he had to go through at Ohio State to get on the field, and you know, he's been through injuries and all of that, he had to work really hard just to get what he got at Ohio State. And I've said that before. I think you're going to – I want to see that. I want to see him sort of – he's not really a big, like, rah-rah vocal leader type guy. I think you're just going to see him go through his business a little bit. And I want to watch him closely and see what that looks like as the identified sort of alpha dog in a receiver room that needs anything, something, or everything different than it was in 2023. He's a fresh step in the new direction. You know, maybe he catches, you know, 3, 4, 5 balls. I want to watch him run routes. I want to watch him block because, first of all, I love to watch him block, and I hope he blocks. And if not, we'll get to watch him block later because it's fantastic. He's one of the best blocking receivers. He is the best blocking receiver Penn State will have. But I just want to see if there is even just as that sort of, you know, alpha dog in the room, is there a trust building or a little bit of confidence building? Just a little bit, I say, one step across the line between him and the quarterback. So I just want to watch him go about his business because he's a professional at it now with what he's had to work through to get where he is. And I'm looking forward to seeing that in a Penn State uniform.
Andy, my perspective on it for specifically this game with Julian Fleming is I want to see if there's any kind of connection, and you brought this up, alluded to it, between Drew Aller and him. Is he the guy Drew Aller will look to first? Is he that guy? And could he be the guy that Drew Aller trusts? He'll be where he's supposed to be, and he's the guy that he could count on. So I'm real curious about that. The other part of with the wide receivers is we have Julian Fleming, Trey Wallace, Keandre Lambert-Smith as the first three guys. But there's like a cast of thousands there in the wide receiver room. Is there anyone beyond that three who could make an impression? And this would be an opportune time. All right, so Andy, we hit Julian Fleming, we hit Nolan Rucci. Who else is on your list that you're looking for during this game?
So I'm sticking in the transfer portal at the sort of high up on my list because I think Jalen Kimber and AJ Harris, the two transfer corners, they're going to play a role. They're going to be a significant part of Penn State's secondary in 2024. And I know what kind of players they are. And I mean, Kimber's, he's a fifth year guy and he started 11 games last year. that's a veteran. So you kind of know what to expect from him. I want to see what kind of roles they might use him in, because I think he's a little bit of a chameleon. He can do a couple different things. AJ Harris is a pure talent. I want to see what that looks like in a Penn State thing, but I think they're so important, the two of them, to Penn State secondary in 2024. I'm just excited to see what they look like in Tom Allen's defense in Penn State colors. Because I know what their talent looks like. It doesn't matter what color uniform they're wearing. I want to see what they look like inside a Penn State sort of bubble.
Yeah, and again, that's another room. That's like the tackles who lost both their starters, and the third guy who would be this year's starter at left tackle won't be there, out injured for the spring. Same thing at cornerback. Yep. You've got the two pure cornerbacks and the slot cornerback, all three of them gone. So there's opportunity there, and you have a couple new guys coming in who have experience from the Southeast Conference. Definitely got to keep eyeballs on that. The other place, Andy, where things have changed from last year are with the coordinators, both offensive and defensive. I'm not sure we're going to see much from special teams, so I'll set that aside for now, Andy. But, and you can take them one at a time. We got a new defensive coordinator in Tom Allen. We got a new offensive coordinator in Andy Kotelnicki. Is there anything that you're looking for from them, even with the knowledge that, hey, in this spring game, they're not going to show you everything?
I think in some ways they're going to kind of show you nothing. I'm not looking. I don't look for much. What I would look at, what is a coordinator doing? I don't think I'm going to get much out of this, because the way, as James phrased it, he's going to do a little more mixing and matching of the roster to create a little more balance between the two teams and kind of try and take another step forward and making it look a little bit more like a simulated game, like football, an actual football game. So I think that you can't really, you can't have a lot on the table. They're going to, you know, they'll have practiced on Thursday and, you know, done some things that are, you know, basic. And then they'll have a walk, they'll walk through on Friday. And these are the 12, you know, to 14 plays that we'll run. These are the different situations that we'll do. It's almost going to be like an NFL preseason game to a degree. Like, you don't evaluate coordinators during an NFL preseason game. You evaluate players. So when it comes to coordinators, Jimmy, I pretty much ignore them during this type of, you know, spring. They've done their hard work already in the other 14 practices, right? That's where they have been working. This one is sort of their, it's kind of their day off, because this one is about, more than any other time, it's about seeing where the players are progressing or regressing, per se, and the coordinators sort of don't play a role to me, so I am not looking for anything and everything, even though it's a new offensive coordinator. I get it. You want to know what he's doing and what he's trying to install and blah, blah, blah. What he's been trying to do is make sure it sounds like, feels like, and looks like what these kids are used to in his likeness and image now. So that was step one. So we're going to get to see what that kind of looks like. But in terms of it having any, at least measurable significance to be what Andy wants from this offense, you're not going to get that now. It's just not. So I don't look for much from the coordinator. Sorry, Jimmy. I'm a boo basher on the coordinator. New guys, we got to look at the new guys. Yeah, no, don't expect much.
You are, Andy, a Debbie Downer on that. Now, I'm a little bit different take on that. Obviously, they're not going to show everything. They're not going to West Virginia is not going to get Penn State's offensive game plan by watching this game, okay? We know that. But I think you can get some, you know, will some of the, I call it base plays, be a little different? And I think we'll see some. Like in the running game, are we going to see more outside zone versus inside zone? Are we going to see them try to get the running backs outside a little bit more? Are we going to see any kind of screen passing game? Doesn't mean you have to show every screen pass that you have, but you could, you know, show, is that going to be part of the offense? And the same way on defense, I think the one thing I'll look for, and again, they're going to mix and match and change up depending on permutations, but we've heard about this, you know, 4-2 defense with three safeties on the field. Are we going to see a little bit more of that, Andy?
You might. I think you if he's going to have that in as sort of one of his base defenses that he goes to on a consistent basis, I think you're going to see a dabble of it, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of it. I think you need, in order to evaluate the players, I think you have to, less is more, right? In order to evaluate them in this situation adequately, especially with two new coordinators, less is more. They're learning too. So you want to help them learn to be able to show you what that knowledge they've gained. You have to give them less so they can do a little bit more, because you don't want them out there thinking, you just want them out there playing. That's why I go with this on the new coordinator's front.
Well, if the three safeties is the more what we're going to see as a base, I think we could see some of that. I'd like to know how that looks. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. Stick around. Quarter three, your questions, and we ask Andy. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number three. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's time to ask Andy. We take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send in a question, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. All right, Andy, y'all ready?
I am. Let's go.
A little different this week. I actually don't have not one, but two questions, Andy, from listeners who I've interact with a few of them with text messaging and so on. And they two of them sent me questions that I want to send on to you. So let's start with Chris in Carolina, used to be State College, now in Carolina. Chris sent me this question. He says, whenever you run a gambling defense, i.e. blitzing, you are looking to create sacks and interceptions, big plays, but you also leave yourself vulnerable. How much leeway do we then need to give as far as giving up big plays also? In other words, Andy, I think he's saying, you know what? Like with Manny Diaz, we love the big plays, but whenever you risk sending extra guys, if you're sending a blitzer, if you're sending five or six guys, that changes what you could do in the back of the defense. You might also be vulnerable. And I'll just add one other note. It was funny from our good friend Ross Tucker years ago. I expressed to him that I'd like to see Penn State do more blitzing, take more shots like that. And he said, you just sound like every other fan. You're happy when the blitz works, and then you complain if you give up a big play. So just how much leeway do you give a defense when they're running a high-risk defense?
So I think it's why I thought Manny was a mad scientist and he was so good at it. He found ways to do it without leaving his tail end completely exposed, right? Like, Penn State had occasional problems on third and longs. You know what I mean? Like, third and 14, third and 15. But when I looked at it, it was generally those conversions were missed assignments rather than the impact of the pressure not doing its job, right? So I think it's all about finding the right guys and the right time. And the real key in all of this, to answer your question, Chris, is the offense doesn't know, they can't have a beat on you to know when you're bringing it and where it's coming from. And that's, Manny was better than that than most. That's going to be a challenge for Tom Allen because he's got plenty of tools to work with to make the unexpected sort of the defense is expected, right? The defense, when you saw it from Penn State last year, you were like, yep, that's Manny. That's expected, right? But the crazy part of it was the offense had no idea where it was coming from, generally speaking. So that's sort of the key for me, is to make it unexpected where it's coming from and how it's coming from. And that on the defense, you know exactly what you're doing and how you're going to do it and that it is going to work. So, yeah, the risk, there's always a risk. That's end of story. Every play like that is a risk. But you alleviate and reduce some of that risk by the element of surprise.
And Andy, I think what you also have to understand is Manny Diaz attacked probably more than almost any defensive coordinator in the country.
They did.
Tom Allen will do that less. He will probably rely more on, you know, say a four-man rush and do more exotic things at the back of the defense. The other thing to remember, though, is towards the end of the year, Michigan kind of took advantage of Penn State when they were playing that seven-up defense, third and long. They ran the ball and converted, okay?
Yep.
They scouted well, and they converted. So you do have to change things. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I expect Tom Allen. I think Tom Allen's going to be a little different. He's kind of known for bringing the more traditional, consistent. His pressure will be more consistent than selective. That's the way Tom Allen likes to coach defense. He's more consistently aggressive from the front than he is on the back.
All right, let's move on. Our good friend Steve from Potomac, he sent me this. We were texting, and he sent me this question, so I'm going to send it over to you, Andy. Would 2 years of not making the playoffs put James Franklin on the hot seat?
Oh, my gosh. Steve, man, you do not like your head football coach.
No, he does not, and he'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, he is not a fan of his football coach. Wow. I think he does. Yeah, I think it puts him in a compromised position. Back-to-back seasons of outside the top 12 is not where Kraft sees this program at, right? Like the athletic director. That's not where he sees Penn State at. And he's in charge of the coach and the coaching staff. So I don't say they have to make it 2 years in a row to take any more pressure off James. I just don't think you can miss it 2 years in a row and still be in a comfortable position. So the answer to the question is 100% Steve, who hates Coach James Franklin. Yes, you are absolutely accurate in that assessment, that it does create some serious heat in his kitchen.
I think the fans will be very disappointed, especially coming off this, you know, 10-2, where you win 10 games you were supposed to and lose the two games that you hopefully you would have at least split. My answer to this, Andy, is it depends on what it looks like. Are you 10-2 and they just have, you know, a dozen teams that are 10-2 and somebody gets left out, essentially a tiebreaker kind of thing? So are you 10-2 one year, 9-3 the other year and knocking on the door? Or are you 6-6? Big difference, Andy, and, you know, the fans, I think, will start turning up the heat if they don't make it to the playoffs either year, but there's different ways to do it, and like I said, if you're 10-2, 9-3, I'm not sure he's in any real danger of losing his job. All right, let's go to Jason in Arlington. He says, what is the bust potential for Abdul Carter moving to defensive end? I don't think it's a slam dunk. I think we're all excited about him moving to defensive end, Andy, but is there any bust potential there?
So I think that is actually a really good question. You can go to different scenarios and situations. I think the bust potential lies in one simple window for me. There is a nuance and sort of devil in the details of that position that Abdul isn't able to grasp fully to allow himself to sort of be the talent that they expect him to show moving to that position, right? Like, they're trying to create some more space for him to move and operate and be a wrecker. And there's some subtleties and nuances involved in that, your hand fighting technique. I have no doubt about his get off, his strength. Is he able to push offensive linemen straight up? There's some subtleties. Can he come down the line in the run game and, be that guy that can chase down opportunities on the back end of the run game coming from the back end? Are there some small nuances of the game that he can't get at the next level that allows offensive tackles to control him instead of it being a 60-40 or 70-30 proposition of him controlling them? That's the only thing I see as a potential bust, possibly. And it's just going to be about reps, comfortable in what he's being asked to do by the coaching staff. That's going to be important, and confidence in his ability. And I don't think Abdul Carter lacked confidence.
No, and I think, Andy, he's played up on the line of scrimmage enough. I think when he's asked to go get the quarterback, I don't think there's bust potential there. What concerns me is, might teams be able to take advantage of him? Remember I talked about how Michigan on third and long ran the ball multiple times. Is that the kind of thing where some teams might be able to take advantage of him? Will he be able to set the edge? Because in his mind, he goes after the quarterback, and might a team be able to take advantage of that? Quickly, Andy, go ahead.
So my question would be, can his strengths be his strengths? Right? Can you know what his strengths? Can that be?
All right, let's get to another question here so we don't run out of time. This is from Walt in Florida. Walt says, is NIL sustainable? It seems like I read more and more about schools and their fans worrying about keeping up with everyone else. At what point do donors start to feel they can't keep this up and they aren't getting a return on their money?
Wow. What a great perspective, Walt, in Florida, wherever you are. Hope you're enjoying the sunshine, sir. That's a great... I've never thought about... It's the wild, wild west. So right now you're so reactionary. I've never thought about NIL long term as being sustainable. I've never contemplated that as a question. Like, is this sustainable? My instincts tell me that NIL is not going anywhere. Is it sustainable as it is now? Can it grow and become a bigger monster and be sustainable? Either way, I don't think there's no way there's no way that this is going anywhere. You can't, once you open this door, you can't close it again. So the sustainability question is a good one. It's at what levels can it be sustained at long term? Boy, that's a good question. And I never thought about it that way in terms of the long term, because everything in NIL right now is short term because it changes so fast and moves so quickly. So long term, I don't think it's sustainable at the growth level that it's gone through these first 2 years and how it's sort of the massive changes that it's undergone. I don't see that sustainable in a decade, but I think it's going to be around.
Well, Andy, we're running out of time in this quarter. I do have a response to that, which I'm going to do when we come back, Andy, for quarter number four after this small break. Stay tuned. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. And Andy, when we finished up quarter three, which was the Ask Andy segment, Walt from Florida had a question about NIL asking, is it sustainable? And I just wanted to react to what you said. Now, a couple things, like your NIL is here to stay.
Yeah.
It's the law of the land. It can't go away. Legally. No matter what they do. And I often talk about the player should be paid and people say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't change NIL. You're right. NIL still exists. But it won't be the factor it is right now. And let's be honest, NIL does not work the way it was intended to. It's not like, okay, you know, I advertise for the local car dealership and he compensates me. It's become essentially donors are giving money that makes its way to the players. And is that sustainable? I think what Walt's talking about is true. You have situations where John Calipari was the basketball coach at Kentucky. He didn't do well in the tournaments. That relationship was fraying. But Kentucky, of all places, Kentucky basketball wasn't necessarily raising enough NIL money. He ends up with the job at Arkansas, where the word is not only is he being paid over $8 million, he's being told he has $5 million for NIL. Okay? So it's like Arkansas. Now, Kentucky's going to react to this. They're going to start raising more money because they're upset about how Arkansas is doing it. But if Arkansas doesn't win and win big, those donors are going to start to say, hey, wait a minute. Even those very rich people, donors that are at Arkansas are going to say, hey, what am I getting for my money? So the model has to change somehow. It doesn't mean NIL goes away, Andy. It won't. But what's going to have to happen, and I think the answer is some of that donor money, it's got to filter through the teams. Do they become employees? Do they negotiate as a union? Something has to happen, and that will take the pressure off the NIL. Will it still exist? Yes. Will the stars, Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, still be making their NIL money? You bet. But the rest of the team, well, most of their money will be coming from the university. That's what I think is going to happen. All right, Andy, let's get back to the spring game that's coming up this weekend. We talked about specific players you're looking for. I want to ask, maybe it's a similar question, but different angle to it is, it seems like every year, spring game, there's the breakout guys. You know, KJ Winston was my breakout guy last year in the spring game. And then we saw how good a player he was. Who do you think are going to be those breakout guys that we might see here in this blue-white game?
So, yeah, breakout guys. I'm going to start in an obvious spot because I just think you're going to see some of it. And with, you know, QB3 Jason Smolik's sustaining that significant injury, right, that reduce it. We know one and two. I think true freshman Ethan Grunkmeyer, he's already had a larger role this spring. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing him getting some unexpected seat time. I mean, a breakout player, I don't know about that far, like, you know, but he's a quarterback, so you got to pay attention to him at all times, right? So I think he's one for me that I'm curious to see what he's got. So that gives him breakout potential.
Yeah, I think you make a great point with the expected number three guy out. He's going to get playing time. And as I keep pointing out, this is a guy who should be getting ready for the high school prom. Okay. He should still be in high school. So we're looking for that. And I'll give, you mentioned, you know, a quarterback, because obviously the quarterback's going to get the ball in his hands. He's going to throw some passes. He has the opportunity to shine. Give you another one. Every year we get a running back who breaks out. It's usually a walk-on, okay? This is a year, though, Andy, I think we could have, you know, a scholarship player. And just like Ethan Grunkmeyer, unless something goes horribly wrong, he's not going to get snaps in the fall. Well, at running back, the third running back is not going to get many carries come fall. We know who will be. But in the spring, we don't necessarily need to see a lot of Allen and Singleton. Might we see, Kim Wallace?
I go with the less is more for the running backs, the two stars in this game on Saturday. I think for me, the running back position is about 3, 4, and 5. I think they should be getting, I think those guys should be getting the lion's share of the work, right? Those are the guys that I think we're going, you're going to want to watch. You're going to want to see. I think the coaching staff's going to want to watch and see them. I think more than any other players on the field, I think the two most irrelevant players in Saturday's spring game are going to be Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. And that's a good thing. I'm just going to say that, and basically I'm agreeing with you that I think the highest potential for a breakout player and the one that I would advise fans to really keep an eye on, don't worry about Singleton and Allen. If they're going to play, let them play a little bit. When they go to anybody else at the running back position, watch. That's what you're going to want to watch. That's one of the things that I'm going to watch. I'm not going to watch when Catron Allen and Nick Singleton are in there. I'm not going to watch the ball. I'll watch everything away from the ball. When the other running backs come in, I'll watch them away from the ball and on the ball when they get it. They are very high on my list. After the first two studs at running back, it's everybody else at running back in a cluster. Anybody and everybody. Want to see them all.
Want to see them all, but I think James Franklin in his press conferences has thrown a lot of kudos at Cam Wallace, and I think because that we're going to see it. Now, I think a lot of fans want to see Quentin Martin play.
Sure.
You know, he's, as you describe, you know, me liking my shiny new toys.
Love
he's
him.
That shiny new toy. We want to see him play, certainly. But that's a guy, Cam Wallace, I think, could have a breakout game. Anybody on defense you think could break out a bit, Andy?
Yeah, no, I'm not. When you ask, you know, breakout guys, I don't have anybody on defense, Jimmy. I really don't. I mean, you know, Tony Rojas? No, I already know enough. Yeah, that's not a breakout guy. Deny Dennis Sutton, he wrecked the game last year. The four defensive tackles are the four, you know, you've got experience at the linebacker position. Where you got four safeties to choose from. We know pretty much all of them. And so I don't see, you know, the defense is so deep and we know way too much about them to learn anything and anybody breaking out in this game at the next level. I think all the breakout potential comes on the side of the ball that needs the most work. It's the offense.
Yes, there's that, but I'll give you a name. How about Jamel Lyons, defensive end? That's not a name I think most of the fans recognize. Yeah. And at defensive end, he's a guy who, you know, could rush the quarterback. I know you can't hit the quarterback, but how about that for a breakout guy?
I give you credit for it, Jimmy. I'm not buying it, but I give you credit for it, sir. I give you credit. That's digging deep. That's giving the fans an answer on the defensive side of the ball when I said, nah, not really. I don't think I'm looking for one. And if one comes up, it will be a pleasant surprise, but I have a hard time seeing it. There's just too much known talent.
Well, again, remember, this is the spring game, and I think defensive end is a position where, you know, you might be able to make a splash play, Andy. Let's talk a little bit about the format of the game. Something you alluded to way back in quarter number one is James Franklin talked about dispersing the talent a little bit more evenly. To be honest with you, I've never understood why they always played the ones versus the twos. Why not play the ones versus the ones? If the blue team has the one offense, why not put the one defense in white so you see the ones versus ones?
Yeah, I think you see a little bit of good versus good. You're going to do good on good in practice more than you want to do it in this scenario. I like the way James has decided to do it. Look, we could go back 5 years or 6 years, and he didn't have enough bodies to do anything more than make it sort of a put lipstick on a pig and make it a glorified, you know, sort of practice looking thing that really was just a practice. So I like the balance, and I like the mix and match because you get enough through 14 practices. You get an opportunity. This is an opportunity not to practice, right? Like, you go through camp in the fall. At the end, you kick off the season, you play a game. Then you practice for a week, then you play a game. Okay, we've got 14 practices under our belt. And we've been doing some good on good, and we've been doing some simulating. We've been doing it in small chunks during those 14 practices. Let's extend that, right? Practice is about the work. And I think the competitive fire in Brinstow comes out in more of a game scenario. So practice is about the work. Let's fire up that competitive edge and that sort of fire in Brinstow. Because at the end of the day, AJ Harris said it best. I just want my team to win. I don't care what team I'm on. I just want my team to win. That's success for me. That's what everybody wants. And I think that is what they're going to prevent for them. And I'm a big fan of the way James is breaking it up now. I really am. I think this is going to create some of those good-on-good matchups that you're looking for, Jimmy, in spots. But it also kind of feeds that fuel of that competitive fire. And I think that's important.
Well, I am really happy about seeing more good-on-good, more disbursement of the talent, so we have that. My question, Andy, is, Coach, what took you so long? You could have done this for years now. All right. Yes, you could have. I don't get to go to those 14 practices and watch the good on good. I get one chance, Andy, and this is that chance. Give me the best matchup possible. That's what I want to see, Andy. All right. That's going to have to be it. Everybody, hope you enjoy the game, whether you're there at Beaver Stadium or watching it on TV. Andy, I am going to be there, though. All right. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.